Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Mag 6 Community Connections radio show and podcast with your hosts Jennifer Burwell and Kyle McIntosh. Mag 6 builds better communities where purpose and profit unite. We are inside the Mag 6 Entrepreneurial Center, 150,000 square feet of space, including traditional and non-traditional private office suites, a variety of co-working office space solutions, and a unique co-manufacturing space, all in service to growth-oriented entrepreneurs, startups, and mid-market enterprise businesses. We're here to shine a light on the entrepreneurial and incredible stories of businesses we work with and how they are serving our broader community. Today, we have Kia Albors with the Launch and Expansion Manager with Starship Technologies. Kia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kyle and Jennifer. How are you guys doing?
Great. And I guess we should preface with, I said inside the Mag 6 Entrepreneurial Center, but we are today not inside at all. Weird times.
We are all, in fact, social distancing in our private locations. I am in my hotel room here in Tempe.
So, Kia, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up? How'd you get into this role?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I grew up in Plano, a little suburb of Dallas. I went to school at Austin College, a small little town outside of Dallas. And I, went off to law school after that, litigated for several years where I started working with startups, found a real love with startups, and I went on to join Lime back in 2018 when they were the fastest growing startup of the time. And I helped launch and set up a few of their markets and really kind of fell in love with the process of building new companies in new markets and traveling. And I found Starship right at the beginning of the year before really this crisis kind of took hold. And I joined their launch and expansion team, really driving our efforts on our universities and campuses, trying to bring more contactless robot deliveries everywhere.
Wow. So what a crazy time to start a new company or join a new company, relatively new company, or I guess your position was new. And then all of this started happening. That had to have been wild, especially as you're expanding into new markets. So before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit more about Starship and the concept of what the company is?
Yeah. So Starship itself is an autonomous robot delivery service. They provide on-demand deliveries of food and groceries within minutes. So essentially, you'll download our Starship app. From the app, you'll be able to find a list of providers, whether it's a grocery store or a restaurant, and you can find whatever items you want. And then a robot will come a few minutes later and deliver those items to you. We've been operating for a little over 2 years commercially. We've had over 100,000 deliveries. Our robots have driven over 500,000 miles, and they do this all autonomously. It's pretty fascinating to see if you haven't seen a robot in real life yet.
That is crazy. So I have to tell you a funny story. When you guys were coming into our space, there was a lot of excitement about it. We love entrepreneurs and new ideas, and it was just, robots are always exciting no matter who you talk to. But I was telling my son, who's 5, hey, we have this new company and they have robots. And I have never seen him get so excited. And so all he ever wants to do is he wants to see these robots. And I'm like, someday you'll see one. So I'm excited to actually see one in action and show him because he's so excited. Every day I go to work, he says, "Are you going to say hi to the robots, mommy?"
You know, you need to come down to our service area and have them check out one of these robots. Well, a lot of times when we're going into a new neighborhood, we'll have the robots kind of go out in front of us and scope the area out. And the reaction we get from the kids in the neighborhood is always my favorite.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that. Like, sometimes the little kids are super excited, and sometimes kids are even more like early adopters to new technology, right? And sometimes some people could be like, whoa, like we're getting taken over by robots. What is happening in our neighborhood? So how do you like introduce the community to the concept so that people, share the sidewalk with the robot, or how does that all work?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Well, right now, what we do is we kind of do a grassroots effort whenever we get into a new community. We go, you know, door to door. We put out flyers. We really promote our business within our local partners, the local restaurants that we team up with and the local grocery stores that we team up with. We'll kind of, you know, spread our message throughout social media. I know here in Tempe, we have a Facebook page. You know, everyone that's listening right now, if you're not on our Facebook page, please come join. It's, let me see, it is Facebook groups Starship Tempe AZ. And we, you know, put out all of our updates, all of our expansions. Typically what will happen is we'll start with a smaller service area. We'll start with two or three restaurants. And then every few weeks, we'll keep adding more restaurants. We'll keep adding more items to our grocery store menu. We'll continue to build the market as we're building our service. Our service areas will continue to expand. So please keep checking our app. Every time you open the app, you're going to find a new restaurant in there, or you're going to see more items available in our convenience store or our grocery store apps. So it is more of a gradual kind of process introducing people to the service.
That's so cool.
One thing that I find, this is a kind of a story as well, but I try to describe what you guys do to people, and it's like I'm describing a part of the Jetsons, and they think it's this, in theory, this really cool idea that seems like, oh yeah, okay, I'll believe that if I see it. And then what's interesting is when people describe it to me, because they've seen one of these robots, and it's not autonomous robots, that there's these robots that do it all by themselves, and they are just driving down the street, and I don't know what's inside of them. But how in simple terms, I mean, how would you describe, how does Starship differ from other tech, AI, often seen in Arizona? I mean, even from other food delivery options that are out there.
How do we differentiate from other tech? You know, let me just tell you about the robots themselves. It's pretty difficult to kind of put it in simple terms. Our robots, they use like a combination of computer vision, machine learning, and sensor fusion to provide for seamless navigation so that they're operating all on their own. And they kind of create a bubble of awareness around themselves. So they're able to avoid objects and avoid people. You know, they're essentially, the best way to describe it is really to just kind of go out and see it for yourself. Because nothing's really going to be able to put in words when you actually see this robot just moving around on the street and waiting behind a red light and being able to kind of figure out whether it's, you know, waiting for a car to pass or if it's moving around, you know, a person. And it kind of does it all on its own. And it's pretty special to watch for the first time.
It's so awesome. It really is like, you know, everything that the Jetsons promised us is like coming to real life. But what's the craziest or wildest thing that you guys have delivered that you can share?
And wildest thing that we've delivered, you know, we mostly deliver, food. We have a lot of restaurants that we partner with, a lot of local restaurants that we partner with. More recently, due to kind of this whole, you know, the COVID crisis and the pivot that we've had to make, we've been adding grocery options as one of our partners. So, you know, anything that you basically see in a grocery store is now available on our app, and it'll be delivered within a few minutes, you know, by a robot. Over Mother's Day this past weekend, we actually did a special where we were handing out, you know, flowers, roses with every one of our deliveries for all the moms to kind of celebrate Mother's Day. But I got to say, you know, we haven't done anything too wild. Maybe some ramen. we do great boba here. Share Tea is one of our partners, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy their boba teas.
Oh, those are delicious. Good. So talk to us a little bit about, you alluded to, you know, you had to make some shifts when the COVID-19 pandemic started happening. So talk to us a little bit about what your guys' plan was before and kind of how you shifted and pivoted.
So when I joined, when I started Starship at the beginning of the year, our primary focus, our primary form of operations here in the States was based on college campuses. And of course, in March, you know, the nationwide lockdown shut down basically every college campus in the U.S. for the most part. So all the places that we were operating were shut down. So as a company, we had to make a focal shift to, you know, instead of providing services to college students and college campuses, we were going to provide services to neighborhoods and communities that have been impacted kind of heavily by COVID. And what our idea, what the whole message is, that we're offering a contactless, humanless delivery service that, you know, can kind of add a layer of protection and a layer of safety to some individuals, kind of give them some peace of mind. And then for people who are, you know, not wanting to leave the home or, you know, isolate themselves a little bit better, we're giving them that option of food delivery, grocery delivery, which isn't available in a lot of neighborhoods. And Tempe is a wonderful example of, you know, their grocery delivery isn't that prevalent here in Tempe. And that was one option that we wanted to be able to provide the residents so that, you know, if they chose to stay at home or if they wanted to leave the house a little bit less or, you know, potentially to only go to the store when they absolutely have to, they now have that opportunity to have contactless delivery.
What are some of the places in Tempe that you guys are working with to deliver food and groceries?
So I am not from Tempe. I am from Dallas, as I mentioned earlier. So I don't know the neighborhood per se, but if you do download the app, the Starship Delivery app, you'll be able to kind of see where our borders are and where you can drop the pin for the order to be delivered to. We are kind of generally around the Tempe Gardens area, but we are expanding pretty rapidly, and we are looking at other areas in Tempe that hopefully we'll be moving into before the end of the summer. So please check the app periodically and often to kind of see if we're going to be in your neighborhood. And we also have a survey in our app. I highly encourage everyone to go in there and add, you know, what restaurants are we missing? What food items are we missing on our grocery store app? What else do you want to see on there? What neighborhoods do you want to see on there? And we take a lot of feedback from the public, and then we always try to customize our service based on that feedback.
I was just going to say, I'm going to go on there and request Gilbert and maybe, you know, get all my friends too, because we would love to have you in Gilbert and other areas.
I'm not going to promise that we're going to be in Gilbert, but I will tell you that I have been driving around looking at Gilbert quite a bit recently.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah, Tempe is such a great place to start though, because there is, you know, it has such a great community and there's a lot of walkability. And I imagine that that's some of the things you have to consider, is your robots can probably go through a lot of different terrain, but, you know, thinking about how they commute from stores and the proximity of neighborhoods probably plays a role in where you can go.
Yes. Now, our robots, they are able to go up curbs. They're able to operate during the day or at night. They're even great in extreme weather. Apparently here in Tempe, they're doing great in this 100-degree weather.
I didn't even think about the heat component. Yeah.
But they, so they can absolutely kind of, they do need a good terrain. We do like to, you know, utilize sidewalks that are typically or historically underutilized. We do try to look for areas that have, you know, good bike lanes and that are just generally fit for our robots to unobstruct any right of way.
Great. So this question might be taking you way back, but I was, as you were talking, I was just wondering, like, where did the idea come for this concept? Do you know? Because the co-founders are from Twitter, right?
Well, a couple of our co-founders, they were the co-founders of Skype.
Oh, Skype. Sorry. I get confused.
Very similar color scheme. No worries. Well, I think that they and a team of engineers were kind of the basis behind the idea. The company has been around for a number of years where we've just had some of the brightest minds working on the AI behind these robots. You know, these things that are equipped with... you know, they have like supersonic sensors and time flight cameras and stereo cameras and all sorts of radars and all this high tech gear that I can't even pronounce. But, you know, it allows the robots to be able to tell if the crosswalk is red or white, or if there's someone standing in its way, or if it's trying to cross, you know, a street or any type of crossing. You know, we've done over 50 million crossings successfully over the past 2 years. And with each one, our robots are learning more and becoming smarter. And the people operating them, you know, we're also learning more and becoming smarter. And we're just, you know, obviously continuously improving our service and the product itself.
One thing two things I'm very curious about from a user experience perspective. One is the person who's downloaded the app. What does that look like from ordering something to the robot shows up at their door, I guess, or at their address? And the other one that I just keep thinking about is if I've never heard of you before and I'm walking down the street and a robot comes driving by, is there signage or anything that explains what this is, or is it left to my imagination of what's happening in Tempe right now?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So the robots, they do have, you know, they have markings all over them, and they do have advertisement for you to go check out our website that's specified here for Tempe that kind of gives you an introduction to the robots themselves. But, you know, it all starts with you downloading the Starship Delivery app. Once you download the app, you can choose, you know, what items you'd like to order. Then you can determine where the drop pin would be, so the robot would know where to deliver the food. You can actually track the robot in the app, so you know when the robot's going to the restaurant to get your food, and then you know when it's been loaded, you know when it's on the way to your doorstep. And then once it arrives, you use the app itself to unlock the robot. It'll give you a little bit of an alert that it's there. And you know, you'll be able to take your food right out the back and close it up, let the app know that you've got it, and the robot goes on its way back to work.
How long can a robot operate before it has to go back to its charging station?
You know, it can go basically all day. They have just about a 24-hour life. And, you know, it depends on a number of factors, if it's going uphill, if it's carrying a lot of weight, this and that. But they have an all-day battery you know, shelf life, and they go about 4 miles per hour. So you're going 4 miles per hour at the entire day. It can definitely cover some ground.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit, we talked a little bit about the pandemic and how it affected Starship and the unique pivots that you guys have been able to make. But how about for you personally, like what's one thing that you've learned going through this experience, this collective global experience that you're going to take away to the future?
Being able to connect with business owners over the phone or over email. I've had a lot of Skype meetings, a lot of Zoom calls. It's been pretty, you know, it's tough when you can't go into a store and introduce yourself directly to someone and shake their hand and look them in the eye and kind of give them your pitch. So it's very different trying to rework, you know, introducing the service, selling the service. You know, a lot of people there, everyone's kind of freaking out. We're all trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. So kind of throwing in this futuristic robot into the mix can be overwhelming. So it's kind of catering our message to where it's, you know, a very, you know, to us, this is a very normal experience. It's just a delivery service. And instead of a human that comes to you, our robots come to you. But when you hear it, and then, you know, when you have the Jetson mindset, it can be a little off-putting.
Yeah, but I also think at the same time, because my family owns, we own a small donut shop, and we've been like small business owners, especially restaurants in this time, have been really struggling and figuring out, like, how do we adjust to this new normal? And if people really are concerned, how do we provide our service in a new way, and how do we reinvent? So I think that, like, yes, this is absolutely awful and terrible, but your product is can be such a great thing for small businesses, restaurants, grocery stores. So I think it's really awesome. And I think even as a business owner myself, of like, yes, you're overwhelmed and you're, you know, there's so many things and it's one new thing, but right now might actually be the perfect time to, hey, let's try some new things, because people seem to be more innovative. And that's the thing that's been so encouraging for me personally, is everybody is that I talk to and I'm around is like, all right, well, let's, how do we solve this problem? How do we reinvent ourselves? How do we come up with new solutions? And so perhaps people are more open-minded right now than they would have been.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And you know what? We're finding that with a lot of the partners that we're speaking with. The ones that kind of get over that initial scare, they come to that realization of this is a different world that we're living in, and contactless delivery is definitely something that is going to be here and it's going to last for a while. So it's great to be able to offer that to your client base, and it's great to be able to diversify just the way that you know offer your services. I feel like we're all just trying to play our part. We're all trying to figure out what's the right way to move forward after, you know, everything that's happened. And one of the great kind of benefits of starting with robots, or, you know, starting a robot delivery service, is that we fill in that need that is so relevant right now. So we're teaming up with as many local businesses as possible. I think, the more local that we partner with, it's easier to move quicker. That way, you know, everyone's kind of on the same page. We're all trying to figure out a good solution to, you know, bring businesses back and to, you know, generate more income. And being able to move quickly in this environment, I think, is very, very essential. So working with small businesses, they kind of have that freedom to make decisions on their own without going through some sort of corporate hierarchy. It's also just another way for them to differentiate themselves from their competitors, differentiate themselves from the bigger players that are, you know, more or less doing fine during this time.
Absolutely. So Kyle, how about you? What's the thing that you've learned from this?
What have I learned from this? I guess I continue to learn a lesson that it pops up all the time, but it's just humans are adaptable creatures, and that no matter what comes in front of us, we're going to continue to find ways to create value for each other, to be there for one another. Whether it's, hey, look, Zoom is working out so well as a platform for communication, or, you know, I have young kids too and couldn't have a birthday party, but this new trend of drive-by parades in cars, and what a special way to show people that you care about them right now and just be, like I said, adaptable creatures. It's not like it's a new thing in my life to see that there's amazing things that human beings can do, but it's just another opportunity that we've seen humanity, I guess, step up. And it's been pretty cool to just reinforce that.
Kyle, for Charlie's birthday, you should do a parade of robots. Look at that. That would even be next level.
He's turning 5 in a couple of weeks. I'm sure that would blow his mind. Yeah.
You know what? I bet we could definitely work something out.
What, so your role specifically is more around bringing new geographies into the mix with these robots. Is that right?
Yeah. I have one of the best roles, I think, in the company. I get to go to our new and emerging markets, and I essentially try to identify how we can increase our service, how we can get everything up and running to actually offer it to the public. And it kind of involves everything from, you know, finding a Mac 6, you know, co-office space for us to be able to operate out of, to finding the partners and the merchants and the grocery stores, and getting the menus up on our app, and getting everything kind of finalized, and then, you know, making sure our operations on the back end are, you know, as elite as the company likes to hold them up to be. And it's a full on effort. There's so many aspects to it. There's never a dull day, but it's difficult during this time, as there's so many restrictions with travel that you definitely want to be safe. I try to self isolate in my hotels as much as possible, but there is a good amount of work that requires me to kind of be out in the field. And being an essential service, or deliveries in themselves being an essential service, has kind of given us the ability to continue working, which has been, you know, a little bit of a blessing.
If you're doing some version of this 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and this role, and part of this, I guess, is a question for you, and part of it is about the company as a whole. What does it look like? More geography, maybe even a year from now. I mean, it's a tech company, so we're talking exponentially quicker timelines here, but more and more geographies, or is there a thought about the deliveries being any different, just more and more food deliveries to more restaurants to more people? Or is there a vision that looks a little bit different from that in the future?
The vision that I think we have right now, it's really ever changing. What we're doing now is something that was on our roadmap just a few years down the road. I think we would eventually go back to universities once things started to open back up, as that's like a decent market that we are great at, and then we can build that out fairly well. But I think, you know, the future for Starship, when you open the app, you see the entire United States as a service area. So that every single person is able to get contactless delivery. I think that would be our end goal as a company. And the road to get there is going to be, it's going to be long, and it's going to be difficult, and it's going to involve a lot of innovation on the way. Innovation on our end, and as well as innovation with the cities that we're operating in.
As I think about it, you're not just revolutionizing food delivery, but really travel and the perception of not only do I have to have a person deliver, you know, pizza delivery or like it always, you know, like that or whatever, but do I have to physically get into a car myself and go somewhere to pick something up? I don't even need to think about doing that myself, let alone does a human being have to be on the other side of that? It's a big change, I think, in human behavior that you're helping to facilitate.
You know, it really goes in pattern with a lot of themes that cities these days are kind of working around building. It helps decrease congestion. It helps improve the environment that's kind of around. Now we have less people driving. We have less delivery emission gas related events occurring. So there is a lot of different layers of benefits that you get whenever you're able to add this type of technology to not only to your city, but just to the general fabric of life. So I think long-term, there's going to be a lot of benefits that we see from just having robots deliver groceries and food that we can't even, kind of fathom right now. So it's exciting. It's definitely game-changing, but it's really just helping getting the word out that we're here and we're in Tempe. And we're also doing this all across the U.S. We're doing this abroad. We're in, I want to say, 5 different countries delivering food and groceries. So, you know, look out for us. Within the next year, we're going to be hopefully, you know, in every corner.
That's awesome. So along those lines, what's the one thing that you wish people knew about Starship?
The one thing I wish that people knew about Starship, other than actually knowing that we exist.
Okay. Yeah, that's the first step.
It would be that, you know, we have just such a good, dedicated team of people here. Everyone is so passionate about kind of the goal of bringing autonomous vehicles into the world. You know, our founders, they just have this forward-thinking vision of what the future is going to look like. And, you know, they're out here living it today. It really is. It's something that, you know, like our headquarters out in Milton Keynes, they're very used to seeing robots, the entire cities. And for, you know, people like me, you know, the first time when I was in Irvine, I saw a robot make a delivery. It was just, you know, the coolest experience. I couldn't believe that this little thing was just, you know, working on its own, and it was moving and stopping and crossing streets, and it was able to tell if it was a red light or a green light. And it's just polite. It says, thank you. It asks, you know, will you please get out of the way? And then just to see the visceral reaction of, you know, when we were on campuses, the students, they would just get so excited when they would see the robots, that the TikToks would start coming in, and then the social media posts. And it's so cool to see that and then to experience it yourself. So, you know, it's one of those things where once you do it, then you're kind of sold, and then you just can't wait for everything else to get autonomous.
Yeah, I can't even imagine if they had that when I was in college. I would have ordered so many things.
my mom would like to think I would have stayed in the library, studied, you know, maybe that time.
It is interesting when I just hear you talk right now, and it's a autonomous robots. And I think that's what people think of when they see the robots, when we're talking about the company Starship. And but what you are speaking to is there's really a big team of human beings behind this that are giving the robots the opportunity to know what they need to do, to care about putting decisions like, hey, say thank you, ask politely for someone to get out of the way. Where does that come from? I mean, I guess I'm just curious about the human part of the company. And I guess there's some culture part of that. But I guess it goes to some, why is this important? Why was the company started in the first place, other than, hey, I think we can create a better mousetrap here and make a bunch of money doing it? You know, what was there an initial something that, hey, we think we have something that could provide some huge value to the world, have a purpose more than just making a little bit of money?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like the way that you phrased that question. It's hard to always speak for someone else, but the mission behind Starship, it's really to advance, you know, a better future, a happier, more environmental friendly environment, or really path towards an environment that's more environmentally friendly. It's just the concept of innovation, technology, kind of pushing that last step, doing something that's never been done before, right? It's very much trailblazing the way for other autonomous vehicles to come into the fray, whether it's going to be cars or other autonomy delivery services. It's really kind of changing the mindset that everyone has and, you know, advancing the future. You know, with all technology comes this lag between what the laws are like, the public's perception. Really, there's a lot of factors that kind of surround it. So being able to be the first ones to push the envelope and kind of get everything to catch back up, you know, it's kind of a privilege to be the first in that sense.
That's very cool. It's interesting. It's not like you guys are out to break the law or anything, obviously, but it's an entrepreneurial mindset, right? We're going to push the thinking of human beings to how could we do this better? And just, it's one of the great joys that I have every day doing the work that we do, is being surrounded by companies and people that have that mindset. And, you know, like I said, not, hey, let's go out and just break the law to break the law. But like, let's think about how we could do this better. Why did we decide to do this like this in the first place? And how can we provide a better experience for human beings all over the place?
Or yeah, how do we get a law in place? Like there are no laws yet about robots. You know, we gotta get that in place first.
What kind of work is going into that? Is there, have you done anything with different cities where you're seeing more
absolutely
legality or normalcy to this coming in place?
So that's always a factor that we have to consider whenever we're going into a new market, right? There are a number of cities in the U.S. that actually already have laws regarding delivery services on sidewalks, where there's a number of countries around the world actually that have laws that kind of provide for those type of delivery services. I think a big part of our team is going to the areas that we identify as, areas that would be a good fit for the robots, is going and convincing them on a local level, as well as like a state level, even a national level, that, you know, we need, they need to have like permits set in place, where there needs to be some sort of guidance within the law that provides, you know, authority for our robots to be able to deliver on public property, for them to be on the sidewalks. And what I've really found is like the overwhelming encouragement from local officials, that they're all like, we love this. This is a great idea. We can't wait for you guys to come here. And then it's always, us working with them on figuring out the right language and the right legalese for us to be able to do this in a manner that that is appropriate and, you know, so everyone's happy. You know, it's different with every city. I've yet to kind of come across one city where they've been like, we hate this idea, we don't want this here. Especially right now, I think everyone's kind of looking for the alternative, or, you know, to give, you know, their citizens some sort of safety factor there in offering contactless deliveries.
So following up along those lines is, you know, we saw a lot of disruption with like Uber and Lyft and them coming in and kind of changing some policies and having to rethink our laws. Is there any lessons that you guys are looking or taking from like that industry or anything that you've learned of?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest lesson that we've learned is to always work with the cities and never to kind of work against them. You definitely saw a lot of these early disruptors rub people the wrong way when they first kind of entered the market. And I think the lesson that we've learned is that we approach every situation in a more collaborative tone. We always want the cities to be one of our partners. We always think that we have the same end goal in mind, right? It's that we're here for the people. We're here to provide them a service. You know, we always want to do it the right way. So yeah, it's good that all of that's happened, that we've been able to kind of see the ruffles kind of shake out with, you know, Uber, Lime, or Bird. And now, you know, we have a really good team. We have a really smart leader kind of heading the ship here, where we've got, you know, we're only operating in places where the government's given us permission to be here, whether it's the local government or the state government. And, you know, we always kind of operate with this in mind, that we have the intent to bring this to every city. So if we have a good reputation with the first few, you know, cities that we're working with, that reputation will precede us moving forward.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to have somebody that paves the way a little bit so you can learn some things. But I think, you know, obviously collaborative effort is important and the right approach for sure.
We've learned that lesson and continue to, it's better to be friend than foe with the fire chief or, you know, any other. Thank you for being great friends. If anybody from the city of Tempe is listening, and we got to be creative sometimes to figure out how to continue to find new ways to provide value to people. And but exactly what you said, it's a stakeholder approach. It's a partnership approach. We're all working to do this together. And I think that anybody at a city or you know, government would feel the same way. They're not there to tell people not to do stuff unless it's harming anyone, but they'd like to find ways for people to find new ways to provide value.
Exactly. And first impressions matter, right? You know, the last thing you want is for an autonomous robot to give you a bad first impression.
That's a horror movie or something. That's, yeah.
Try to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So if we take it back, a little bit, so you guys are inside our Park Lane co-manufacturing facility. What brought you to Mach 6? I don't think I know the story. And what made you decide that we were the right partner for space for you?
You know, I wish I would have talked to the person that was responsible for that getting on the interview.
Sorry.
I don't know the answer to that. But I can tell you, since coming to the market, I have absolutely enjoyed the Mach 6 space. Scott has been just wonderful. He's fantastic to work with. He's done a lot to try to get our name out to some of the local partners and businesses out there. So we really want to thank Scott on live radio right now, because he's an absolute man. You know, the space is awesome. I go through every day and get little popcorn. And we're able to get our robots, you know, we have like the privacy to work on them. And then we have everything we need to get them out, to service them. Yeah, so it's a wonderful space. I can't speak more highly of it.
Do they leave right from Park Lane? Like they drive themselves, or do you put them in a vehicle and then transport them?
One day they will in fact drive themselves. But at this point, we're a little too far away. We do load them up into a van and unload them out at the service area.
Cool.
Yeah. It's an interesting time that you've been sort of starting at the warehouse there, and over the last number of weeks, and all of them really under some form of stay at home and during this pandemic. And you know, one of the things, there's the part that you're talking about, there's 38,000 square feet of space. You've got the privacy and ability to work on your robots, and you can, I hope, pretty easily get them into the van. But as we start to open back up, I mean, one of the things that we really find ourselves having a unique difference in, and that we value ourselves in, is this community part of it, really having all the companies working together and knowing each other. And so as more people start to come in there, I'm definitely hopeful that we can continue to get the word out more. As far as, you know, a lot of those people are in Tempe, or like Jen and I and Gilbert, and maybe making some pitches to you about, well, who's up next?
You guys just wait. I'm telling you, Gilbert, there's a lot of cool things going on over at Gilbert.
There are. Especially in that downtown Gilbert corridor with all those restaurants and
You know, it does. There is a good amount of effort on our end. Anytime we need to map out or expand into a new area for us to be able to get the robots to deliver autonomously, there's probably like 10 hours of work ahead of time for each like little square mile. So to get into a new area, it does take, you know, a decent amount of time. So that's all is to say is that Gilbert is something that we're absolutely looking into. As soon as we can kind of get it onto the schedule of priorities, I'll actually be able to predict a little timeline on when we'll be there. But as of now, we don't have a date set, but we are absolutely looking at it, and we think it's perfect.
Awesome. Well, we're excited. And, you know, Kyle and I, obviously, we spend a lot of time in Tempe because that's where our office is. So Tempe will work just fine as well for right now.
Absolutely.
We should, when everyone's back in the office, we should do a little delivery party and order from some restaurants for everyone. That would be fun.
Definitely. We can have the robots go around in a circle and dance and flash their lights.
Oh, my gosh. They have so many talents.
It's a curiosity I have too, I guess, that I was just thinking about. One of the companies that's in our space is the SciTech Institute, and they do a lot of STEM education for K-12 and festivals and learning in the schools. And it just made me think, do you guys typically get involved with the tech community when you get into a new community? I imagine it's at least of interest to them what you're doing.
Yes, we absolutely do. You know, it's funny, you said, do you normally? It's just, we don't even have a normal yet, right?
Sure.
But it's absolutely one of the things we look into is tapping into that tech community. I know we've partnered up with some of the universities, like their tech departments, and done, whether we've like presented or robots at their events, or we've had a speaker kind of show up and talk about the robots. We love getting engaged and getting people engaged with, you know, not only our service, but getting them engaged with autonomy and robots and kind of everything that we're doing here.
Curiosity question. So as you've talked about, you're here helping to get Tempe up and running so that that can continue to grow and serve more people. And you know, who knows, we're half joking, putting in our pitch for Gilbert, but whatever that means for geographic expansion in Arizona. And this is going on around the country and around, like you said, around the world in different countries with a fairly geographically spread out team, I'm guessing. And you guys might have had to be sort of ahead of the rest of us on finding ways to connect like Zoom, but what is the culture like at Starship, and how do you guys stay connected?
Yeah, another great question. So Starship, we have a headquarters in Tallinn, Estonia, and then one in San Francisco, and we have offices in London, and you know, we have employees that are kind of spread all throughout the world. And it's remarkable that, you know, I've been at the company 6 months, you know, I've maybe met 5 people in person, but I've had these very intimate relationships with people in other departments, and it's strictly over, you know, Slack and Zoom and, you know, email. And it's, you know, we communicate constantly across, you know, these crazy time differences. It's crazy when you think about it, but it feels so natural as a company. We all do a good job of really kind of having everything running 24 hours, with Estonia doing it when it's their daytime, then us running it when it's our daytime. So someone's always awake. Someone's always answering questions. We have, honestly, we have a great, just a great community of people, and we're all very collaborative. There's not too many employees, especially on our launch team. So we all work together, and it doesn't matter if we're in, you know, Mountain View or Frisco, Texas, or Fairfax, Virginia. We're all, you know, working together. We're all putting our efforts in to get the next city launched. And, you know, it's hard to find a group of more dedicated people than we got here at Starship. And you really find it, it's because we're all doing something that's super cool. We love the robots. We love the technology that we're bringing to these communities. And you can see it in everyone's passion. It's a privilege. I feel so lucky that, you know, I was able to find this job amidst everything. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Awesome. What's the one tip that you would give for those of us who are not used to working remotely or connecting with our team? What's the one thing that you would advise you to give?
Establish a morning routine and a nightly routine. It is so key to just your everyday mental health. It gives you kind of that sense of purpose when you wake up in the morning, because it's very, very easy to just do work in bed all day. And sometimes when you don't get up, you're not really as productive. So it's just for your mental like health. It's great to kind of do that morning routine and stretch your legs. I have my little dog out there. He's a great traveling partner, because he forces me to kind of get out of the room and walk around every few hours. So, you know, take a pet with you. That's also a great trick.
Yeah, Charlie looks like he's living his best life back there.
Yeah, it's funny. Yes. As soon as we started the meeting, he wanted to get right over into the picture and lay down.
He's famous.
That's awesome. Good. Thank you. I wrote that down. Establish a morning routine. Because what I found working from home is, you don't have a commute anymore. So, right. So like, and because I have children at home, I can like get a head start on them if I get up early. So I like jump out of bed and then I'm working. And then it's been, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. And I realize, oh my gosh, I haven't like got dressed for the day. I haven't done anything. And so it's like throwing everything off. And it's, and also for me, it's, I'm being more productive at home, which is interesting, but I'm working longer. So like last night I went into my dining room to get something. And I saw my computer on, I saw some emails. And so I sat down. It was an hour and a half, and I wasn't even intending on working. And my husband and I were watching the show, and he's like, hey, where did you go? And I'm like, I don't know. I got sucked back in. So like having an office in the dining room has been interesting. So I think that's a really good of like morning. I've heard that before too, like morning routine and nighttime routine, like close your day.
Yeah.
Can be helpful.
It's an interesting thing with Zoom and with, you know, what, I mean, establish a morning routine and evening routine, regardless of anything that's going on right now, is a good idea, I think, and just to keep yourself, keep the wheels turning in the right direction. And an interesting thing that I keep thinking about or seeing as this is going on is, we use the word community a lot. And at Max 6 and the cities, you know, the, whether it's a company culture or, you know, the 100 companies inside our buildings. And there was sort of this perception that it was, that means because we're in person and we know each other and we see each other. And it doesn't just have to be that. And so we, the four of us, the three of us on this call, are connected by just being on this call, and how powerful that can be to be able to look each other in the eyes and utilize some of this tech, whether we're a part of the same company or interviewing you, Kia, learning about you. And it's just, it's been pretty amazing to sort of redefine the perception of what community is, and through some connection that we already had, to be able to establish more of one through technology. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
So one last question that I have, Kyle, unless you have more. What is one thing that people don't know about you, but they would be surprised if they did?
One thing people don't know about me, but they would be surprised if they, you know, I'll tell you exactly. And I don't know if you'd be so surprised. So to talk about my morning routine, I've started a new skincare regimen. Moisturizing, because it's so dry out here in Phoenix that I've never actually experienced dry skin before. So yeah, I've been applying moisturizer for my morning routine.
I like it. It's good advice. My mom always told me that I didn't need to worry about it, but the second I turned 30, if I didn't do moisturizer, it's all over. And so I still don't, and I'm all way over 30, so I'm in trouble. But that's a good reminder. All right.
To maintain some continuity, just because I forgot to ask you before, Jen, when you asked me a question, but what is something that people would like to know about you that they'd be surprised to know, Jen?
Oh, gosh. I asked that question because it was so hard, and I got asked it the other day, and I gave a different answer. But this one, I would say, so I'm the director of programs at Max6. And so I'm always like, when I read, I only read nonfiction, and I'm always like learning, and I'm Kyle thinks I'm very serious. I'm like, I don't like movies. I only watch documentaries, and I'm just constantly, anyways, but my like guilty pleasure is I love certain reality TV shows. And so it's like such a dichotomy for me, but that is my, that was what I was watching last night when I got interrupted by work. So
nothing wrong with that.
Kyle, how about you?
Yeah, I guess I fell into the same trap you did there. Now I've got an answer. So there's so many things, right? But I guess just while you were talking, I was thinking about one is I read nonfiction, but I listen to fiction. And I was going through the other day, and I think I've listened to some of them I've read, but I've gotten through every single Stephen King book that's not just a novella at this point, which has been quite an undertaking. And I'm probably about to read some of them a second time, but that's I enjoy his writing quite a bit.
If you could recommend one of his books, which one would you recommend?
My favorite is It. But if I was going to make a recommendation to somebody else, probably 11/22/63 is one of his best books about what would have happened to the world if JFK hadn't died, and somebody could change that.
I love it. I just wrote that down.
Yeah,
you didn't ask me for a recommendation.
Yeah, I was about to. Jennifer, what's a good reality TV show that I could get into?
Oh, gosh. Don't waste your time. But my husband and I really enjoy Vanderpump Rules. We actually went to the restaurant in L.A., and saw, and they actually work at the restaurant. We planned a little trip. Anyways, it's good. It's not a good show, but.
Don't they have a bar in Vegas too? Because I think I went to that with some friends last year.
Yeah. So Lisa Vanderpump opened a bar in Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're expanding. But they're in Beverly Hills, and they're also in like in Hollywood. So maybe some robots can do some deliveries there.
Boom. That's a wonderful idea. I'm going to call their publicist and stuff after this.
There you go.
So, Kia, as we're just wrapping up here, can you tell the listeners how they can find Starship one more time?
Absolutely. You can always find us in any of the app stores under Starship Delivery, or go to our website, www.starship.xyz, and click on Tempe for information about Tempe. And don't forget our Facebook page, which is, if you go to facebook.com/groups/StarshipTempeAZ. And make sure you subscribe so you can get all of our updates. You know, always check the app. We're always adding more service areas. We're adding more restaurants. We're adding more items to the grocery store lists. And if there's anything on there or anything that's not on there that you'd like to see on there or a restaurant, please fill out the survey that's in our app and we'll be happy to add that. And for any businesses that are thinking about partnering with us, reach out to business@starship.xyz with any inquiries and we'll definitely get back to you. Even if you're not in our service zone or if you think, you know, you're not potentially ready to have robots deliver your product, reach out and start some line of communication. And, you know, we're very creative people and you never know, you might be able to come up with something.
So thank you very much for being on our show today. And I'm always just immensely curious about things that you know a little bit about and learning more and how you bring some stories and humanity to the Jetsons and teach us more about the value you guys are creating for the community. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
Kyle, Jennifer, thank you so much for having me on the show. It was so good to see another person and to have a conversation with humans instead of a robot. It's been great. Thank you guys.
So thank you for listening to the Mac 6 Community Connections radio show and podcast with your hosts, Jennifer Burwell and Kyle McIntosh. Joining us today was Kia Albors from Starship Technologies. We're off to continue to build better communities where purpose and profit unite. And thank you for being an awesome part of our community.